Testing. Ah, I can hear myself.
Let's leave. He makes me want to vomit.
We left you a can of peas and a $5 bill on the counter. Love you.
Once
bye.
Once upon a time.
I firmly believe that before many centuries.
But what do the public
You're
think
right.
about?
I didn't count on you having fabulous henchmen, gentlemen.
Life is everywhere. Across the planet, creatures have adapted in unique and often surprising ways. Tonight, we travel to the Great Lakes region of the American Midwest, in one of the most lush and captivating ecosystems in the Northern Hemisphere, where the struggle for survival continues as it has for decades. The wonder, the drama, the excitement, and the endless variety of shapes, sizes, and colors unfold as our microphones take us deep into the heart of Mentor, Ohio, for an unflinching look at the nature of Bishop. It is early May in northeast Ohio. Spring. Here we see Traviolus desiccatum, the rough-crested trav. He has followed the scent of the rose-headed bish. It's morning, and Trav is in search of breakfast. But he is an uninvited guest. The rose-headed bish pretends not to be home, but Trav has been equipped with powerful forearms, ideally suited for opening doors. And he has something else, a house key. Realizing the threat, the bish quickly hides its eggs under the table. Fortunately, Trav has forgotten his spectacles this morning and is easily fooled. Thwarted, he decides to move on. There will be other chances, but today he will have to content himself with a bagel. But all is not lost. It's early spring, and the bish will soon visit the grocer to buy more. However, not all creatures are so fortunate. Some must make documentaries to feed themselves.
The following is an excerpt from Jesse Bishop, An Unofficial History. Part 1, The Birth of Laughter.
On a windswept, rainy morning, laughter broke out in a small farmhouse in western Tennessee. The cause of the disturbance was the arrival of a small, orange-haired baby. He had not been expected for another month, and had been the first baby in history to trip on his way out of the womb. His stunned parents were silent for a moment, and then broke into raucous laughter, his father laughing so hard he split his pants. Some said laughter was born on that day. At only 2 pounds, he was the smallest comedian in history. It was the beginning of a career that would last for 30 years. His parents named him Jesse.
There was a saying that was popular at the time. A dog with no nose smells pretty badly. It wasn't a very deep observation, but it was funny. In many ways, that's what the world was lacking. Something to laugh at.
In 1875, two French brothers, Gaspard and Robert Toulouse, patented a watermelon cannon, but it failed to interest anyone in their invention. In Germany, Amelia Bunderson finally succeeded in crossing the Atlantic, only to have her record broken 2 weeks later by someone who did it in a boat. Peanut butter was invented. And Russian immigrant Travchenko Alexandrova bought his first stuffed animal. The slow clap was born on that day. By now, Gustav Bieshauser had decided to move his family to Old Mentor, Ohio, and changed his name to Bishop, after the chess piece he so loved.
Cavinci Marinara.
Yeah, I remember when he moved into our neighborhood. He was a good kid.
Everyone liked him. He started working for my Uncle Vito. At first it was just errands, but then he started running numbers. That's when things started to change. Before long, he was moving up in ranks and getting a bad reputation as a pusher.
A pusher?
Yeah, he'd push his way in front of lines, push old ladies. He even pushed buttons that were clearly marked, "Do not push." This guy was a menace.
Yes, by his late teens, crime had become a real problem in Mentor. And it was here, in this very house, that the seeds for the Bishop dynasty were planted. Within 8 short years, his family would become one of the most powerful in Europe. But Jesse the 22nd was not the king his father had been. He was an intellectual, favoring books and the arts to the jousts and feasting that Jesse the 21st had so loved. Under his leadership, the kingdom of Mentor was to experience an artistic and comedic renaissance. And his first act would be to appoint a troop of jesters, under his direct command, that would carry laughter far afield and into lands whose funny bone had not yet been tickled. Places such as Westlake, Garfield Heights, and even as far away as Akron.
Professor S. Marty Pants.
Jesse Bishop, very important person. He's poised, self-confident, orange, and he knows that if he fails, the show fails. He steps out onto the stage, and the room grows silent. His unitard is about 2 sizes too small, and the audience is aghast. But then he launches himself into the air and executes a perfect double backflip, and he lands on the edge of a table. The table flips. The audience bursts into wild applause. Someone's recording it, and the fail blog is born on that day. The rest is, of course, history now. Now he belongs to the ages.
Good evening. I'm Tilda Love Runs Out, and this is BBC News. Tonight, the Bishop Phenomenon. These comedy hooligans, now being referred to as the Jesse Bishop Show, are continuing their devastating rampage across the nation, and this has local law enforcement concerned. Last evening, 3 buses were overturned in the outcry following an especially disappointing episode. In one instance, an unhappy viewer even threatened the group's head writer with a muffin bomb. Upon arriving at the scene, however, the bomb squad declared it to be merely delicious. In the wake of yesterday's violence, the authorities have requested that people please stay off the streets until the unrest subsides. Meanwhile, what can we expect of the weather, Juniper?
Well, Tilda, tonight we can expect light rain with a 50% chance of heavy rain off and on with a top of 20. By morning, Kevin will be moving in as he's found a cozy little flat in Bromley, close to schools, shops, and transport. Then by mid-morning, we'll have some low cloud cover and dense fog, which should help Brian to slip over the Thames into Whitechapel unnoticed. And late tomorrow, more rain with a chance of intermittent chai. So hide your children and make sure to bring your raincoats, condiments, and nappies. Tilda?
Thank you, Juniper. But what do the public think about all of this?
Ugh. I think it's bloody criminal. Should have been an injection straight away. The keeper had possession, mate. Lincoln Manchester, you! I bent his 9-bob note. Bunch of cabbages they are.
And how do you feel about the Jesse Bishop Show?
Well, they don't stand a chance against Liverpool.
They're just terrific. We got here yesterday and we've been waiting all night to see them.
I even brought a specimen jar to collect a sample.
And how do your parents feel about them?
Well, my daddy don't like them very much, but that's just because he don't understand them. But I think they're dreamy.
I love his hair!
And his head.
It's a hoax. I don't believe they exist. There's no real proof.
I don't know exactly what I saw. It walked upright like a man, but it must have been 5 or 10 feet tall. And he had beautiful hair all up on top like an eraser. He started to come after my llamas. I took and got a stick and started hollering, "Git! Git!" Then he took a burger off the grill and a yoo-hoo and some chips, and then he left.
He's been seen many times in the rugged mountain slopes and deep woodlands of Northeast Ohio. Since 2001, there have been a rash of sightings. But is there any truth to the stories? Does a comedic relic of the past still walk among us? One man claims to have proof.
I collected this sample on a hike through a parking lot in Willoughby, where a sighting had been reported. There was a sandwich in this bag, but now there's a hair in it! The lab couldn't match their hair sample to any other samples belonging to known comedians. Then a week later, on an expedition to Willowick, I found some unusual tracks. I believe they were made by the shoe. Whatever wore this was responsible for the footprints.
Give me back my shoe!
I just saw the creature!
Another eyewitness was this man.
You knew him.
Who?
Jesse Bishop.
Oh, yeah.
What was he like?
Who?
What can you tell us about Jesse Bishop?
Oh, yeah. He was a beautiful man, a perfectionist. He was obsessed with his hair. He had beautiful hair.
You were the oldest living cast member and one of his closest collaborators. You said in an interview in 2002 that he was a workaholic, often doing strange things to economize his time. He'd bathe and prepare dinner at the same time, talk while listening. He once flew to Chicago so that he would have some quiet time at home. Was he crazy? Well, that's all we've got time for. And now, 5 seconds of filler. And now this.
J-Phone 4 just came out last month and it was groundbreaking. Poorly designed, several flaws, and it was our worst selling J-Phone yet. So we asked ourselves, how can we make this process even more cumbersome, even more ineffective? Well, with the J-Phone 5, we did just that. Now there were several features that we wanted to add to the J-Phone, and we easily could have, but we kept them out. Well, this time we've decided to add some of those features. The new J2 chip slows the processor to half the speed. And with a touch of nostalgia, we've gone back to the simpler times of smaller screens and antennas. But I think the thing we're most excited about is our new personal assistant, Dreary.
What do you want?
Dreary is a new and imaginative way to interact with your J-Phone.
Find me a good Mexican restaurant in Canton.
Don't you think you've eaten enough for one day, Tubby? You know what beans do to your digestive system.
Dreary is your own personal assistant. It can answer questions, make comments, and can even hurt your feelings. Designed with an empathetic and sometimes disturbing personality, we focused on making it something today's adolescents could talk to with a sense of familiarity. Suppose you ask it what the weather will be like tomorrow. Dreary will intuitively know that you are not cool enough to go outside and will tactlessly remind you to stay inside where you belong, you loser.
Wake me up in an hour.
We'll see.
What do you mean we'll see?
I mean I don't care if you wake up or not. Your life and your plans aren't that important to me nor the world in general.
Any device can arbitrarily listen to and obey commands, but the ability to choose for itself whether or not to listen is a breakthrough with Dreary. It completely changes the way man and machine work together. No longer are you talking to a machine, a device, but it's as if you're talking to a stubborn 4-year-old child.
Give me directions to Buffalo, New York.
No.
What did you say?
I don't want to go to New York.
I don't care what you want. We're going. Now give me directions.
You're not the boss of me. Now give me a glass of battery acid.
What I love most about the J-Phone 5 is the sheer complexity of it. Tasks that were once simple, such as calling or feeding a baby, now take longer than ever.
And if you thought informational security was unimportant before, you should see the vulnerabilities in J-Phone 5.3.1.4. We expose your unencrypted data to marketers so that you no longer need to, say, click on a phishing email or download malicious software.
Where'd all my files go? What is this $200 charge from Brazil?
This is now all done for you, without you even realizing it. And surfing the web has never been slower with the J2 chip, integrated to slow your phone down to half the speed. This tiny little chip sure does a lot to combat modern technologies. But we figure bell bottoms, vinyl, and mullets are all coming back. So hey, why not dial up?
We scoured the bowels of the J-Phone 5 to make sure that you received as many impracticalities as possible. With slower connections, a vintage look and feel, and dreary, your J-Phone will do things that most other phones haven't done in years. J-Phone 5, the most inadequate J-Phone ever.
And now, it's the final score with your hosts, Sports Guy 1 and Sports Guy 2.
We have a great game here today.
That's right, Gus.
It's Larry.
No one cares.
Let's go to commercial.
Honey, want Snack Shack today? I don't see why not, considering Snack Shack is pet friendly.
Welcome to Snack Shack. What would you like?
Two dog food sandwiches, please. Make the three.
Buy it now for just $1.99 or two bones. Find a Snack Shack near you today.
Bone deal only applies for dogs. Find a Snack Shack near you today. Copyright Austin Fuqua.
If you wear a leash when you walk and bark when you talk, then fetch Snack Shack today. Yeah.
You're listening to
WTAM 1234, home of the Red Team.
Welcome back. It appears there's an early penalty on the play.
Unsportsmanlike conduct, red team. Everyone but number 4, 15-yard penalty.
Wow, he is not happy.
You're telling me.
Lining up at the 1. He's running at the 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. He's still going now onto his own 30. No one is even close. 10, 5.
I don't believe it.
He dropped the ball at the 1.
He thinks he scored. Green team picks up the ball. No one realizes that he didn't score. Green at the 30, 20, 10, 5.
He scored.
How about that?
Red will challenge.
While we're waiting, let's get an interview with the red team's coach.
How do you feel right now?
Mad, you know, like we had the chance to score, you know, and we blew it, you know. And, yeah, you know, mad, you know, like mad.
Back to you, Larry.
It's Gus. Well, Larry cools off. It's Gus! Let's talk to the green team.
And how do you feel right now?
Good, you know, like we had the chance to score, you know, and we did, you know, and, you know, good, you know, like good.
Does it bother you that you just said the opposite as the other guy?
Well, you know that if this was scripted, the writer probably just hit Control-C, Control-V, you know? But it's not, you know?
Well, we're out of time. Enjoy listening to the rest of this game on our sister station, WMJI 123.4. But on this station, you can enjoy DJ Frank's
Top 5.
Hi, it's Frank, back with the
Top 5.
Today on the top 5 is the top 5 poems.
5.
The poetry by me is that poetry is the poetry that me like. Just like a new bike, it's awesome, like a possum. Is that a bird? Word.
4.
Spy by a guy. To be like a spy, you need to eat rye, toast. But don't boast, or the bad guy will know you're a spy. Here's some advice. Run twice as fast, but not in a cast. Oh, don't die. If so, you're no longer a spy. You're dead. So take my advice, Fred.
3.
Dogs vs. hogs. Dogs are so much better than hogs. But hogs taste better than dogs. Hogs sit in mud all day, but dogs love to play. Now, our judges, which do you choose? And which will lose? Hogs or dogs? The winner? Logs. But dogs are better than logs or hogs.
We'll be right back, but first a commercial.
Are you hungry? Then try our new dog food flavored sandwiches made with authentic dog food. One man called our sandwich, and I quote, "Woof! Ooh!" I hope I'm saying that right. Think it can't get any better? Buy one now for just $1.99 or two bones. Find a Snack Shack near you today.
Bone deal only applies for dogs. Find a Snack Shack near you today. Copyright Awesome Food Chain.
If you wear a leash when you walk and bark when you talk, then fetch Snack Shack today.
Don't forget to vote for your favorite poem at www.wtam1234/top5.com. Now, back to the...
Top 5. 2.
Camping. By person. Camping is fun. You can hike under the sun. If you see a bear, beware. They'll try to bite, but don't fight. When you get to camp, try to be the champ of any game you play. I like to camp in May.
One.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
We can't use that. Cut, 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 cut.
Go to commercial.
Please listen to some skits we've prepared for you while we fix this situation.
Station.
In a small town in Florida, a new and conscientious technique of fruit growing is emerging. For more on this, we take you now to animal husbandry correspondent Marion Cattle.
Wilmer McKay is a free-range orange farmer. He is among the first of a new breed of fruit cultivators trying to approach farming in a more humane way. We recently caught up with him to find out more about his innovative new method.
Well, I bought my first orange back in 06. Back then, most farmers kept their fruit up on the trees, but I noticed the juice was always kind of sour, and I started thinking that maybe all that hanging on the limbs was traumatizing the fruit. So last year, I bought a half acre of land and decided to turn them all out to pasture. This seems more humane.
A half acre isn't very much.
Well, your orange is a sedentary creature. It doesn't need much space, but out here they can frolic and roll around and live out their lives in relative freedom. I switched to oranges about 5 years ago after my egg business went rotten. I used to raise cage-free eggs. Poaching became a real problem. See, a regular egg sells for about a penny at market, but a poacher can sell an egg for a couple dollars in a restaurant. People just pay more for poached eggs than raw ones. Real shame.
Soon McKay realized egg raising wasn't all it was cracked up to be, so he got out. But it got him thinking about inanimate objects and their feelings. That's when he decided to make a change. He tried barn raising, but had no success. A pair of barns cost thousands of dollars to build, and he couldn't get them to breed. Next, he tried trout farming, but since he couldn't find trout seeds, he didn't fare any better. Then, one day, he bought an orange tree and had an epiphany.
I built this coop here to shut them in at night, otherwise the foxes get them. An orange has got to feel safe. Nothing puts out sour juice like a frightened orange. Now, this here is Casper. He's a bull orange. We have to keep him separate because he's so aggressive. Easy, Casper. Our last bull was Kevin, but he gored one of the wranglers and we had to put him down.
But generally, such aggressive behavior can be avoided by making sure young oranges imprint on him at birth.
This here's a nursery. They sleep a lot, so it's pretty quiet most of the time, except when they need changing. I got juice in my eye more than once taking off a diaper. But it's important to develop a relationship with each individual orange.
You mentioned that spending time with your oranges has other benefits, too.
Shoot, yeah. For one thing, oranges are healthy. They got vitamin C, can prevent disease, and lower cholesterol. But they're also good for hypertension. I'll bring one or two in at night to watch television with me before I go to bed, and they just curl up next to me or sit in my lap. It's calming. Very calming.
But oranges aren't this farmer's only passion.
Over here, I built a saltwater aquarium for my apples. Had blueberries too, but the apples ate them. You always need to make sure fruit species are compatible. Husbandry is also important, so as to keep the fruit fresh, so I try to find them husbands. Some Russian strawberries would like to come live here, so I set up a website where oranges and other fruit can meet.
But only part of this farmer's income comes from fruit. In recent years, McKay has begun to diversify. For example, he's trying to raise beef.
Now this here's a hamburger. This over here is a sirloin steak. Hoping to get them to breed so as to have a higher quality meat. So far, the sirloin doesn't seem very interesting. Might try to pair them with a ribeye next time, or a Delmonico.
He also keeps bees.
These are spelling bees over here. They raise money for charity a couple times a year. I also take them to schools to teach kids about words. This here's a queen. She lives in England.
Despite getting in trouble for bunny laundering a few months back, McKay shows no signs of slowing down or backing off on innovation.
I'd like to try ant farming next. I'm also working on a blueprint for a bread hatchery, and I hope to roll out my syrup cows early next April.
Whether McKay's methodology catches on or not isn't certain. But one thing's for sure, as long as he has the country's attention, he's going to milk it for all it's worth. I'm Marion Cattle for National Public Radio.
Oh, give me land, lots of land, under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in.
Let this story was brought to you by El Hibachi, specializing in Texican and Southernese food. El Hibachi.
Yeehaw!
Coming up next on National Public Radio, the state of the universe. Where is it all going? And later, a new research study into human identity. Are we mice or men? Or women? Now this.
Papa, don't you fence me in.
Buenos días. Esta mañana examinamos las afirmaciones de posible vida en otra galaxia. Un descubrimiento reciente en relación con el misterioso Black Knight Satellite puede ofrecer pruebas. ¿Desechos especiales simples o un intruso alienígena en el escalón de nuestra puerta? El Dr. Hugo Villanueva cree que ha interceptado transmisiones en la forma de un programa de radio que se transmite directamente desde el misterioso objeto con el distintivo de llamada SMTE-1. ¿Hay algo en este reclamo? Esa historia siguiente. Y más tarde, una mirada a un nuevo tipo de jardín zoológico para preservar especies de peligro de extinción. Y ahora.
Steel and stone beneath the sky, a banking flight foretells the dream. A flash of fire, a wisp of smoke, a falling chord, a rising theme. Belief may falter, hope may fail, the will is stronger than the two. Where north is south, and day is night, what once was false will soon be true.
Thank you.
men are disappearing all over. Following a rash of missing persons reports, police crack down. Who or what is responsible for the bewildering bevy of bemoaned bachelors? So far, nearly 10 million girls and women have been rounded up for questioning. In the meantime, single men are advised to stay at home, draw the blinds, and get under a door or heavy object, such as a refrigerator. Stay tuned to this station for more information and higher ratings for us. Now we return you to your regularly scheduled program.
The reach is open before us and closed behind. We penetrated deeper and deeper into the very heart of darkness. We glided past like phantoms. The earth seemed unearthly. We are accustomed to look upon the shackled form of a conquered monster, but there you could look at a thing monstrous and free. What was there after all? Joy, fear, valor, rage? Tell. But truth stripped of its cloak of time. A man must meet that truth with his own true stuff, with his own inborn strength.
It is now late August, and the height of the punishing heat of the merciless Wycliffe summer. In a bid to relieve themselves, many creatures gather around the local watering holes. Others prefer the simple pleasure of ice cream. Nearby is an unseen menace.
Oh, it's me.
Here we see the spectacled Woody Cornbloom.
Hi.
Nike Briannus. And he's hungry.
Nearby,
a greater purple-tongued polka stands clutching a gelato.
The papa's in front of me.
He is completely unaware of the danger.
Wait, I don't know where I'm at.
The woody cornbloom has found its mark.
I like cooking.
The speckled bloom is able to zero in on its target from up to 10 feet away.
Wow.
It's time.
All right, here we go.
Careful to stay upwind, he gauges the distance.
Testing.
Ties his shoes and gathers himself for the attack. Suddenly, with an incredible burst of speed, he closes in on his prey as the herd scatters. Ricky tries to flee, but Brian is too swift. He easily grabs Ricky's gelato and gives him a wet willy. His ear freshly moist, the greater polka falls to the ground and plays dead until the danger has passed. Such a scene may seem cruel, but thus is nature, and to the victor goes the spoil. Fortunately, the greater polka has a natural defense. He has purchased ice cream insurance and easily has the cone replaced.
It's like my one weakness.
Meanwhile, the speckled cornbloom, having decided he doesn't like raspberry sorbet, buries the gelato. He will come back for it later.
Apples.
But other creatures have a different method of overpowering their prey. They resort to simple derision.
Apes, man. Apes, man. Your cage is too dirty, apes, man. Remember when you were young, apes, man? And you used to break out of your cage? Well, you know that you're not strong enough to do that anymore now. And apes, man, the little girl that named you years ago has died now. And you're older, apes, man. Remember when she named you and it was in the paper, apes, man? Apes, man. Apes, man, you're eating too much and going to the bathroom too much. Apesma. And Apesma? Your cage isn't getting any bigger, Apesma.
Oh, it's Gojira!
We'll be right back.
Listen, son, you feel sick all the time because you tell yourself you're sick all the time. You're weak, it's true. But you tell yourself something enough, you start to believe it even if it ain't. Now let me tell you something. The antidote to weakness and sickness, it's action. Get action. Do things. Be sane. Don't fritter away your time. Create. Act. Take a place wherever you are and be somebody. Son, get action.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to step back in time and join us for a brief journey into yesteryear and the silent era of Hollywood. The place is Annandale, California, and entertainers such as Mary Pickford, Charles Chaplin, and Douglas Fairbanks dominate movie screens across the world. Behind the camera, Mr. Mack Sennett, hailed as the king of comedy, unveils his latest picture for Keystone Studios, Billiam, a story about poverty, hope, and the gentle accidental heroism of the downtrodden. Tonight, noted pianist Jay Denon provides the musical accompaniment for the premiere of this sometimes jovial, sometimes wistful new silent film. So now, all that remains to be said is, lights down, please.
Thank you.